with Mike Tomlin out in Pittsburgh after Carry the Two, 19 years. We're going to welcome on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline, sports director for 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Well, we're not used to being in this situation. Used to, you know, just bystanding. This is like when the locusts come every 18 years. That's kind of where we're at here in Pittsburgh right now.
Well, let me tell you, the name you really want to be talking about right now is Matt Nagy or Cliff Kingsbury. These are your guys, Jeff, all right? They've worked with the best players in sports, very successful. You're going to love either one of them.
Not Robert Saleh?
No. He's a scrub. You're going to hate him. Certainly not Kevin Stefanski. Certainly not any Harbaugh. How about Harneau? Right?
Actually, I dare you to hire Stefanski. I think it'll go horribly.
I think they should hire Saleh and just say, "Hey, Aaron, how about a part two here with your boy, old Robbie?"
Because you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, I'm really tempted to ask if his wife is real, but I'm not going to do that to you, Jeff, because today's about Mike Tomlin. I guess we'll do the very obvious. How surprised were you that Mike Tomlin is stepping down as Steelers head coach after 19 seasons?
I'm surprised but not shocked, if that makes sense. Like, it was getting to a point where it was getting personal for him. And you knew that, you know, with seven straight playoff losses. And, you know, one of the things I think fans get tired of hearing is, well, the minute he leaves, he'll get a job in 5 minutes. Well, that's okay. And where people say, well, everybody would want those problems. Actually, you wouldn't. Because once you get to that level and then you don't get to the next, in every city, in any sport, people get tired of it. In Division III athletics, people get tired. I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're at. People get tired of not pushing the ceiling forward. And with these losses and the way they've lost these games, I think it got to the point for Mike where it's like, man, I just won't be able to win. And you know, you could be 0-1 in week two and you're at home and fire Tomlin chance could start. Because the frustration is, I think, is to a breaking point here.
Well, we took a phone call from a lifelong Steeler fan that lives in Cleveland now, and he seemed very, very happy about this news. Do you think the overarching sentiment is fans are thrilled that Tomlin's gone, or there's still some that are like, what are we doing?
No, overwhelmingly thrilled. Overwhelmingly. Because they're not. You don't think rationally in those moments. It's like, okay, now you're going to bring in the next Mike Tomlin or Chuck Knoll or Bill Cowher because, you know, that's what's going to happen. There's not a thought about the consequences or any of that. It's just, okay, the guy who's lost seven straight playoff games is out. Now it's going to be better. So, yeah, I mean, the response has been overwhelmingly positive towards the decision today.
Jeff, when it comes to the situation the new head coach would actually be stepping into, we kind of look at this like, man, that thing looks like it needs rebuilt. Is that fair to say that the new coach will maybe bring in some worse times before it gets better again?
And you know what? The Steelers need that. That they've been playing a fool's game here for the last few years, ever since Ben was gone, that they can still compete. They hung on. They were marginal, barely above average, and it proved it in the playoffs where they get exposed every year. So really what this organization needs is to tear it down. And sadly, the one that and you guys probably feel the same way in Cleveland, the one you hate to look at as that's been the role model here has been New England. I mean, they got rid of their great people, fell to the bottom, found a franchise quarterback, and damn it, who isn't, you know, at the top of the AFC again? It's New England. So I think that's what the Steelers need to do. They don't want to admit that they want to do. Who they hire is fascinating because that's going to determine, you know, thoughts on quarterback. And then does that person do a complete rebuild where you put some of the veterans on the table for other franchises to look at? And maybe you just completely blow this thing up.
Who do you think early read is the top candidate that the fans want the most and then who you want the most?
You know, there'll be locals that say Mike Holmgren because he's a Pittsburgh guy. There'll be other names that come up. I mean, people bring up Harbaugh, but I think that's more of a familiarity or somehow you're getting back at Baltimore, but I don't think that's a real thing. For me, I look at it this way, and I got to be honest with you guys. We've been an hour into this, so I haven't done a huge coaching search, but I would say this with Steelers history. Every one of their last three hires, all into the Rooney family, all with different Rooneys, but the same mindset, is they found a coordinator from somewhere else that no one had really heard of. Someone in their 30s that was kind of off the radar. And I think that's what you probably should expect here. Not a big time name, not a recycled name. It's going to be somebody, you know, two names like Mike LaFleur or Chris Shula, even though Shula obviously has a very famous last name, but guys that can kind of set their own tempo, have never been head coaches before. That's been the way the Steelers have done in the past. I would expect, because of that history, that's what they'll do again this time.
Jeff Hathorne of Odyssey Pittsburgh, sports director for the stations out there, including 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh on the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline, talking about Mike Tomlin stepping down in Pittsburgh. So, Jeff, there's this other thing, Tomlin going off the TV for a year, and then maybe in a year's time, he'll reemerge and maybe find his next job. I'm hearing a lot of people that think Mike Tomlin will be incredibly good at TV. How do you think he'll fare in the TV world? Because I'm a little surprised that so many people are dead set on him being great at that.
Yeah, listen, there's a disdain he has for us being media. And, you know, that we're just kind of in the way and we're second guessers. And, I mean, he deals with us and he uses us to throw his phrases out there. But I don't look at him as someone that is destined to do it, or man, he's got a real knack for it, or would really enjoy doing it. That being said, somebody offers you 10, 15 million to work, you know, 20 weeks a year. I wouldn't put it past him. He is a wordsmith. He is a very intelligent man. But unlike Bill Cowher, I could not imagine him not getting back into coaching. I mean, if you watch this guy at practice, he loves every minute detail of practices, and he's very much involved, and he just enjoys being a part of the sport on the grass. I just don't – maybe he does it just for a year, just for money and to keep his name out there, but if he doesn't have to, I mean, he might just spend a year where he just chills and travels and talks to guys and – hangs around football with a very low profile.
Do you think the Steelers would be kind to him in a trade package with whatever team decides they want to hire him, since they retain the rights? Or would it be like what happened with Sean Payton, where the Saints ended up getting a bounty of a haul from Denver?
Yeah, so it's an interesting – I'm glad you brought up that distinction, because, you know, people have already said to me, like, well, he's been fired. I'm like, no, he resigned, which does mean the Steelers – hold his rights for this year, which would mean if he were to want to coach this year, that team would owe him compensation. I don't know if Mike, if that's his overriding thought, is to try to find it immediately this year, or does he just sit out and see what the best opportunity is? That's gonna play out. But my thought is he probably waits and then just goes as a strict free agent somewhere.
Jeff, really great stuff, man. I know you joined us kind of here on short order, and I'm sure your day looks chock full right now. So we appreciate you making some time for us, and I think you guys are going to love it. And again, Matt Nagy, Cliff Kingsbury, I think Jay Gruden's available. I'm just giving you names here if you want to throw those right to the Roonies.
Why not John Gruden? I mean, let's just make it messy. And, you know, if Cleveland's looking for a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is a free agent. I'm just saying.
No, he's doing your bit on you now.
Yeah, I'm going to need to see.
He reversed the bit.
Jeff, I'm going to need to see if his wife is real first, because I only sign quarterbacks with real wives. That's a deal breaker for me.
Guys, I appreciate the time. And, hey, my daughter plays basketball at Case Western, so go Spartans.
Go Spartans. Look at that. Jeff, we appreciate you, buddy. Jeff Hathorne there, Odyssey Pittsburgh sports director on the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline. You at least got a call if you're Jimmy Haslam, you think?
For Tomlin?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's going to call, right? I already see people reporting that the Dolphins have upped their interest, and now it's like, okay, like we're gonna have these convos. I'm just convinced he's off the TV. He's going to do a year of TV. He's going to survey the land, and then he'll go from there. That just kind of feels like the read.
I think if you need to fix your offense, don't know Mike Tomlin's the guy you're going to call.
How much are you ponying up, though? Like, what are you ponying up in a trade for Mike Tomlin, especially if it's the Browns? Steelers aren't going to be kind to the Browns.
I mean, you give up whatever you need to. He's Mike Tomlin, right?
I don't think you give up whatever you need to.
I mean, you don't give up the sixth pick, but do you give up the Jacksonville pick?
That was a first and a second for Sean Payton.
Okay, first this year, second round. Like, again, I'm not saying, listen, all I'm saying is if he wants to coach this year, you at least got to make that call. I mean, because here's the thing.
I don't think I'm giving up a first and a second for him.
We can't for a decade say, gosh, I wish we had a Tomlin and I wish we had a Harbaugh. And then both of them come available, and it's like, you know, it's a no for me, dog.
I haven't been saying that for a decade, though. That's the difference in that conversation.
Well, but I think there's a lot of folks in Cleveland media who felt this way, and then, oh, but I won't trade for him. Okay. Do you want Mike Tomlin, or do you not want Mike Tomlin?
I just find it interesting. Like, I want to know how many people then that all of a sudden makes it from a yes to a no. Like, it just completely changes their landscape.
I actually want to know.
Because there will be people out there that say that's too rich for their blood.
I will tell you, I think it's going to be an incredible stress test on the organization when you go to this year, right? And then you hire your Dan Pitcher of the world because Andrew Berry worked with him a decade ago and they're boys. And then you go 3-14 next year and maybe have the number one pick in the draft. And all of a sudden, Mike Tomlin's out there for free. And again, I'm saying that for Cleveland. That's for like eight other teams in the NFL as well.
Well, and then they'll do the thing that a lot of teams are probably, or the teams did itch to do when Harbaugh became available, which is we're just like Mike McDaniel with Miami. We just throw him aside and then we'll go ahead and we'll get back in the pool.
Andrew, make sure it's a good hire.
Yeah, Tomlin already hates Andrew, though.
Well, now. Nah. Well, no, in this case, Barry would get fired next year.
I think Tomlin would come and he'd be like, that Barry guy that I bust tossed all throughout the season and tucked down on, I want him gone. I want him gone immediately.
No, that was what already. Yeah, that's what I'm saying would happen.
Yeah, and I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, now I know.
We got to an agreement.
Now we're in agreement. So now we can go to the break. 216-474-0092. If you're the Browns, you at least have to call about Mike Tomlin. And what would you give up for Mike Tomlin? That, and it's a disaster in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Josina Anderson tweeting out here that league sources have told her Mike Tomlin has told people he would prefer to coach in a warm weather environment if it fits.
Wait, Josina said that?
Yes.
That's what Tomlin's already put that out there.
Yeah.
He wants a warm weather environment.
Yeah. You know,
Did you talk to him like 10 minutes ago? What is this?
Here's the only thing.
What a ridiculous thing.
You
might
be
right. I just...
Like, Pittsburgh's not...
Good thing we're building a dome.
I don't think that counts.
That doesn't count?
I don't think he said a weather controlled environment.
Oh,
I think,
okay. No, dang it.
He specifically was talking about what it's like outside of the dome. Is Pittsburgh really that bad of weather? Like,
it's our weather.
I don't think it's as bad as us because they don't get the same lake effect stuff that we get.
Yeah, but you still get a lot of snow and stuff. I mean, I think he's, you know, sometimes when you get up there in your age and it starts to show, you want to be a snowbird, you know, for a reason.
That's exactly where I'm at.
And so, like, you get it then, all right? Old bones over there, like, you get it?
Absolutely.
You get it? Like,
absolutely.
If you want to, you know, people like nice weather. Power me shocked.
I'm just saying.
You lived in North Carolina. I lived in Houston. And tell me in those times when, like, our friends were on Facebook in January with all sorts of snow, we weren't like, yeah, okay.
I talk so much crap.
Don't miss that part of life, I'll tell you that much.
I talk so much crap.
And like right now, because we're like January 13th, we're in the throes of it, and so there's a lot of like, ooh, this weather does stink.
Everything hurts.
It's who we are as people, though.
Yeah.
It's who we are. We grew up with this stuff. Like, it's who we are as people. But, yeah, those 3 years I lived in Houston, I was like, this weather's awesome in January.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing you've got in Charlotte, man. And so, like, maybe Tomlin's just going for that. If he's got his druthers, he's just going to – maybe your Tampa theory is becoming more to light.
I'll tell you one guy who I'm puckering right now in real time. If I'm Dave Canales in Carolina, I'm trying real hard to win 12 games next year because Dave Tepper has had a full-on situation for Mike Tomlin since he was the minority owner in Pittsburgh.
Who do you think gets more immediate off-the-bat attention from random teams? Is it Harbaugh or is it Tomlin? Because I feel like Tomlin might actually be that answer.
So I I think it's kind of a trick question because obviously Harbaugh has told everybody he's intent on coaching. So I think Tomlin in the long run is going to get it, though, because there's going to be the 12 months of people frothing at the mouth to hire him because, oh, he hasn't coached in a year. Like, his candidacy is only going to get better.
Well, can he ruin his stock, so to speak, with what he says on television?
Not really.
I think he might be in a spot where that won't hurt him, but it would be interesting to see. Usually television helps people, right? Like Gruden, it helped him get a job with the Raiders, helped him get all sorts of different things. Usually it helps you, but if Tomlin's really bad at it, I don't know, maybe teams aren't as thirsty a year from now.
I think for teams that continue to bounce back and forth from, 9-8 to 8-9 or 7-10 to 10-7, I think they're going to look. Mike Tomlin could come out and say almost anything in reason on TV. And I think Mike Tomlin's going to be their cup of tea just because he's never had a losing season.
Never had a losing season.
I actually think that's what's interesting is what's going to carry next year. What are owners more going to remember? Is it never had a losing season or hasn't won a playoff game in 9 years?
Definitely not winning a playoff game since Obama's administration.
I don't know.
That's going to stay with people. That's like the resounding mark. And this is where we talked about yesterday. Like, do you want to see him win a game so it doesn't seem as bad and the record gets snapped? Or what do you really want for Tomlin and how he wants to go out? But like, yeah, this is it. You are in many ways like Pittsburgh. Marvin Lewis is now going to be a thing for him.
So
he's got to try to escape. And that's hard to escape.
I have to do something that I'm not proud to do. I think I'm going to have to flip flop on air.
Which way were we going now? The Tomlin flip-flops out of you is insane.
It is. I think
I can't even keep track of them. You're like Fanta.
I know. It was, okay, hurtful.
Truthful.
I pay off my burger bets. Let's not go too personal today.
Mm-hmm.
I've already gone too personal.
Way too personal.
But Brownsbacker 15 talked me into it, is saying you can absolutely say we need a Tomlin for years and then say no thanks to having to trade for him. If he was free to hire, it might be a different story. We also need an entire new offensive roster. I disagree with some of that's hyperbole. You need a new offensive line and a wide receiver one and a quarterback. But outside of that, that's not an entire roster. That's just most of an entire roster.
Potentially a second tight end.
I realized what I was saying as I was saying it. The point is, I don't want to pay for Tomlin, and I don't want to wait for Tomlin either. I do wonder if you had told Jimmy Haslam 3 weeks ago, hey, Tomlin's going to take a year off. Does that change the math? Does Stefanski get a seventh year to try and prove it? I don't know. I really don't. I'm just saying it. Like,
you went really fast there for me for a second. I apologize.
So 3 weeks ago.
No, I got that part. I was trying to identify the flip flop.
Would he have given? Oh, my flip flop is I don't want to pay anything for Mike Tomlin. In the world.
Oh, this is a segment to segment flip flop.
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Did Keith bully you in the hallway?
No, nobody bullied me.
Okay, because I remember you did it on your own. Your own. Okay, all right.
On my own accord.
Okay, all right. Hey, I don't care how you get to the side.
Of the division.
I don't care how you get to the side. I like that you just come over to the side. That's all I ever care about. A first round and a second round pick, too rich for your blood for Tomlin.
No, I
think that's an okay
coach.
Thing to say.
He's a good coach.
Why, there's no hesitation there. It's an okay thing to say.
Well, no, I just can't. I did not. I'm sorry. I think he's a little overrated as a coach, and I have to stick to what I said 2 weeks ago. After the Browns win, I have to stick to what it is. So, yes, I'm flip-flopping, but I'm flip-flopping back to my original position.
Oh, well, but your original position, that was a flip-flop.
No,
yeah.
That wasn't a flip-flop. That was a with the benefit of new information.
Oh, okay. I got to clarify this thing sometimes.
This is a flip-flop. That was I've had a long-held stance for 18 years, and now I'm moving off that stance.
That's good. All I've been asking for you out of the entire time was to move off of your long-held stance of 18 years. I was like, we gotta evolve the Mike Tomlin takes to get to reality. That's all I've been asking out of anybody, is just evolve your Mike Tomlin takes to what reality has been. But he built up so much in the first, 9 years of him being there, that it was really hard to get people to move off of what's been the last 10 years of Mike Tomlin.
Now, can we also have an honest conversation? Browns fans are not going to like the next 10 days because all it's going to be is a Ravens love fest and a Steelers love fest from the national media. Their analysis of this job isn't going to be the Pittsburgh roster stinks and needs completely retooled. It's not going to be, well, Lamar seems to be a coach killer and a massive pain in the ass, and the roster's not great either.
It won't be with the Ravens. You're right about the Ravens. I don't know about that with the Steelers, because there's not much hiding with this roster.
I saw the Jordan Schultz
tweet.
Now,
people are going to talk like this job is the greatest job to ever exist. That's reality, but they're not going to do it based off the roster. They're going to do it based off the idea that you get 15 years if you get this job. That's why this job is appealing to people. That's the difference. This is unlike any other job in the NFL. If you get this job with Pittsburgh, you can go through the highs, the lows, all in between, because the Rooney family is just not going to fire you. That's the difference in this job.
216-474-0092. I think I've answered it. I do think destabilizing Pittsburgh and Baltimore gives you a better chance to succeed long term. I think this is something we haven't seen in darn near 20 years, and I think the odds that both Pittsburgh and Baltimore get it right the same offseason is a little far-fetched. I think and it's not just Cleveland. This opens a window, obviously, for Baltimore, who has either played second fiddle or third fiddle or maybe once or twice actually gotten over on those teams. I think it's good for the rest of the AFC North. This is an opportunity. Now you just got to land the plane.
This can't be a bad thing. Now, the Ravens are still going to be good because they have Lamar. I don't expect them to just completely crash. But the Steelers,
if they did.
But the Steelers, I do expect to have next year you can almost assuredly lock in their first losing season in 20 years. That's going to happen.
Isn't it great how fans are calling for that?
Fans are calling for him?
I should say. I've seen enough Steelers fans on Twitter being like, yeah, well, now we need to be bad because that's the path to being good. And we did have Jeff Hathorn on who was like, yeah, they need to rebuild.
It's just what's obvious in front of them. But they've been delaying it since Big Ben retired.
100%. But it's also the easy thing to call for when you haven't had a losing season in 20 years, and it's much tougher to approve of when you're 2 years in.
Well, and I think it's going to be interesting 2 years later to see where they're at, but I think the first year and a half, fans will be able to stomach it and be like, this is what we asked for. We wanted this, and so we're going to have to sit in it and kind of just live through it. And it won't hit the same way like when the Browns do it, where we're like, oh, you're doing this again? Like, if there, they'll be almost excited. They'll be like, all right, let's go through a roster teardown. Let's figure this whole thing out. It'll be like playing GM for the first time in their life.
216-474-0092. Is this a good thing for Cleveland and the Browns? Let's go with Anthony in Maple Heights. Well, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hello. I'm born here. Cleveland's my hometown. My father, all of them from Pittsburgh, so it's a sad day. I'm sorry to see Tommy go, but I got one question for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
The grass is not always greener for each sports team. Browns got rid of Stefanski. He sucks.
It's not a question.
Well, we getting there. Tomlin left. What would you rather have, Tomlin or Stefanski?
In which situation?
It don't matter, period. Which
trick question? They both give you the same result.
Nah, because one has a better track history. You got to give credit where credit is due. I just look
since,
at
well, since Stefanski's been coaching, Stefanski's got more playoff wins.
But he's gone, even though Tomlin is gone, but Stefanski sucks.
I just think both of them aren't getting you to the Super Bowl either way. But go ahead.
I agree. I just look at it. Y'all, all right, it opens it up for the AFC North. But at the end of the day, the grass isn't always green as far as particularly if you go and go with the Browns, my home team or whatever, because they out of a coach. Nobody to a certain degree doesn't want to come here except, you know, Shador is here or whatever. Other than that, don't nobody want to come coach for the Browns?
Yeah, what are you talking about? That's the thing that I don't understand. Who the hell's saying that? And John Harbaugh not wanting to come here might be different than nobody wants to come coach. Somebody will be coaching the Browns next year.
Yeah, they're going to be able to fill the slot. Like, that wasn't the greatest
endorsement. Not just that. Somebody that somebody else would want to hire eventually is going to want this job.
There we go. No, that call didn't make much sense to me. That's okay.
But he did get to a question. We were promised an analogy earlier, and then we never got the analogy. Yeah. So the show is going in the right direction here.
Stefanski versus Tomlin is like my why did you do that to me question. I don't like answering it because I don't believe in either of them.
That's too hard on Tomlin, though. See, you're going to make me flip-flop back
on Tomlin. It's not too hard on Tomlin. He's earned it.
Haven't He's never had a losing season. That's incredibly impressive.
Haven't won a playoff game since Obama was in office.
Both things
That's
are true.
That's not impressive.
Both things are true. Not winning a playoff game in Pittsburgh. It can be a disaster in 9 years. Totally get that. He's also never had a losing season in 20 years in the NFL. That's wildly impressive. As unimpressive as not winning a playoff game and almost half that time is, not having a losing season with Duck Hodges as your quarterback, even though he bagged Laney Wilson, which is still
weird
really
to me. He's really cracked the code in how to lose by double digits in five straight postseason games.
He's really cracked the code at going 9-8 or better every year of his career.
Which is not an impressive thing to me.
The NFL is built on parity. The NFL is built on you're going to have a losing season. Like, as much as it's true that, hey, if you're 5-12, you can be 12-5 next year, 99% of the time, the difference between 9-8 and 8-9 and missing the playoffs is like it's paper thin.
What is the point of the point of all of this is to win playoff games? He's not doing it.
Well, he hasn't done it in 9 years, but he has done it.
Yeah, but 9 years has been a really long time.
By the way, we're both right on this. Just so we're clear, what he's done on both levels is impressive. It's bad impressive and good impressive.
I'm just simply saying, give him
a little more credit for the other part of this.
I don't have to. He's fired stepped away. I don't have to. It's not like I'm not. I'm not defending him in the court of law or anything like this. Like it is what it is. I don't have to give him credit for being slightly above what the league considers to be average.
It's hater rate. That's what I hear.
I mean, 50% of the league wins 9 games every year.
I'm glad he's in the right 50%.
I'm glad he's able to check that off.
For 2 decades.
He worked so incredibly hard to be able to get to 9-8. I wish he would have sold out a little bit more so that he could, I don't know, maybe win a playoff game instead of just focusing on keeping this precious above 500 record.
I'm going to tell you is if you're Steelers fans out there and you godless souls you, I want you to keep track in Pittsburgh of Pony and everybody else who's celebrating today. And I just want to see where you guys are in 2 years and see if you're still celebrating. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not flip-flopping on Tomlin. I wouldn't give up picks for him. You were right. I was wrong. Tomlin is a little overrated. Not having a losing season in 19 seasons is incredibly impressive, especially with the schmoes they've had at quarterback the last 6 years. Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Plenty to get to before we get to Fanta in about 40 minutes. Oh, yeah, the Cavs bad at basketball. But let's get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world, to the sound bites you need to hear, hurry. It's Quick Hits.
Well, we were going to get to this in the last segment, but Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti and GM Eric DaCosta met with the media today to discuss the firing of John Harbaugh 1 week ago. Well, part of this press conference became reaction to the news of Mike Tomlin stepping away in Pittsburgh, and Bisciotti was asked if Mike Tomlin is a candidate for the Ravens job.
Mike Tomlin stepped down at Pittsburgh?
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So, is he a candidate here?
Holy shit, Mike, wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job. Wow. Wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know. That thing last week maybe disqualified him from my opening after our kicker missed a kick to let them advance. Good for Mike. Yeah, I don't know. Talk to him. I love Mike. I mean, I've admired Mike for 18 years, and that's really shocking that he did it that way. But yeah, that's kind of crazy. Didn't know that. I'll leave that to E. Wow,
that's quite the journey.
It was a lot.
It's a lot.
It was a
lot. Also, after last week, after our kicker missed a kick which allowed them to go to the playoffs, he's not bitter at all.
He sounds a lot like Jim Irsay.
Does.
A lot like Jim Irsay.
Not as spacey. Jim was pharmaceutically enhanced.
That's why I just kept wondering what Steve is under right now. I wasn't sure. I just kept it distracted me the entire time.
I think it's called billions.
Maybe. what a roller coaster that was. It didn't seem like he had any intentions of thinking Mike Tomlin was a realistic thought for the Ravens.
Doesn't, but I do like he almost nailed the answer with the only if John goes to Pittsburgh, but then he kept talking. That is, I will tell you.
Yeah, he could have stopped right there.
That is the thing, that billionaires are so isolated with so many people that laugh at all their jokes that they never quite know when to shut up.
They don't know if it's a real one or not.
Yeah, you never know when to take the win, right?
Well, you don't know because everyone's always laughing at your stuff. So you never know if it's actually good or not.
Like you and I in personal conversations.
Yeah.
Oh, this has run its course, and if I try to do one more joke, it's like Mac. Mac is a very isolated young man. Mac never knows when to just take the W and move on. He's always got to get the next W. Just like Steve Bisciotti. I'm comparing you to a billionaire, Mac. Are you not hearing the positive I'm giving you?
How do you feel about that comment, Mac?
I mean, I feel like you're trying to package something that is not a win, that you're trying to package it as, yeah, it's just a billionaire. It's
I'm
fine.
I'm comparing you to a billionaire. You're welcome.
I'd like to also be in the billionaire spot too, but I'm really not.
Well, you're also comparing the negative aspects of a billionaire while admitting he doesn't have $1 billion.
Exactly.
Well, yet. Yeah, I'm saying you have the traits.
We're slowly working our way up to
that. I'm saying you have the traits of a billionaire without the billions yet. You're welcome.
The traits that the billionaire only gets while being a billionaire, though. This is not the compliment that you think it is.
Well, you can't put the cart before the horse, but hey, looks good on you, buddy. Omaha!
Mac was done with it.
Yeah.
That's the power of the segment.
Look at that.
When you have that in your control, you can just hit that all day long if you want to be done with it. Or you can just,
not the only thing you can hit all day long.
Take the veiled insults and just keep them cut. Maybe Mac likes that. I'm not sure. Yeah. Maybe he's into
that. Some people are into it.
Maybe he's into it.
Masochism is real.
Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla repeatedly issued two-word responses after the loss of the Pacers. This is in the post game last night. Here we go.
Give yourself the chance to win, I guess. Take us through the last couple possessions.
Illegal screen.
What'd you say?
Illegal screen.
Illegal screen.
Illegal screen.
What fell apart to get you guys behind, and then how were you able to get
that? Illegal screen.
That's tough.
He's just a weirdo.
I don't love this from him. He is a weirdo. He's a big time weirdo. I don't love that that's what that turned into.
Maybe he's just been watching too much of The Town recently. I know he gets in those rabbit holes.
That is his favorite movie. At least favorite movie to reference. His favorite Boston movie. That was the other part of it.
Because
he needed a Boston movie to inspire people with, so that was he came up with The Town.
I just think that's the biggest pandering you can do because people in Boston feel like that's the best Boston movie.
So there is a part of me that always has wondered if Mazzulla... I think he's just a basketball junkie. Mm-hmm. So I think the amount of movies he's watched is very, very limited. And so I think he came to Boston, was like, I'm going to watch The Town because that's going to be relatable and I'm going to use quotes from it. And I think it's one of six movies he's watched in his life. So he just keeps going back to it.
Here's what's crazy about it. They're 9 games above 500. They're the third seed in the East right now. And they're playing 600 basketball in their last 10 games.
Yeah, if they're able to get Tatum back, they could pick up right where they left off last year.
Like the Celtics are actually way ahead of where people thought they were after trading Kristaps Porzingis and some of the roster overhaul. And obviously, as you mentioned, was it now 39 games without Jason Tatum?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of weird. Just a weird dude. Not a fan. Omaha! The Steelers' playoff futility, which we've been discussing all day long, continued last night with a 30-6 loss to the Texans at home. Post-game, the Steelers were inundated with questions about the future of Mike Tomlin, which has been addressed, and Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron, he had enough of all those questions.
I've answered that a number of times. I've talked extensively about how I feel about Mike, and I just did an answer, so thanks.
Oh, he stormed off. Fair enough response from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, except he clearly had no idea what was going on with Mike Tomlin, right? Like, if that's your response, that people are overreacting too early, all this other stuff. Like, you clearly didn't know what you were getting into. Like, did Tomlin not have any convos with Rodgers about what was going to happen? Apparently, Josina knew months ago. Apparently, everyone knew.
No one was surprised by this. We could talk to Daryl later today. He's going to be in on the two-hour show after us with Coach Lance and Jake Volnick. He's not going to be surprised by this either.
I know. It's funny. We brought it up a month and a half ago, that idea of Harbaugh could lose his job, Tomlin could lose his job, and the responses were as if we were saying that aliens had just landed and we're going to do the radio show for the next 4 hours. Like, it was almost as if it was an unrealistic thing that could happen. And then here it happened. And you have to just admit when these things happen, you're a surprise. It's okay. It's not a bad thing.
Just think Aaron Rodgers. It was a chotch moment from him.
He was chotch the entire night.
But in fairness, he was chotch the entire year.
He kept yelling at his receivers. He kept looking at you. He's such a disgruntled child when the plays don't work out. Just openly yelling at his receivers and looking as disgruntled as he is. He's just a pain.
So we can all agree, though, there's no chance he comes back now, right?
I don't know.
Tomlin's out?
I don't know. You mean even with the Steelers?
Yeah.
No, Steelers are done. Yeah, that's not happening.
I can't see him going to a fourth team, though.
I I wouldn't be surprised. I don't count Rodgers out in anything at all. Now, it did seem at the end of that game, and a lot of people have hinted towards the idea that, like, producers and such, they knew that this was going to be Rodgers' last game, as if they were told, because when you watch the end of it, they portrayed that as if that was the last Aaron Rodgers game. But he's going to go out with a pick six being his final throw. That's a tough way to go.
Feels fitting.
All right, the Royals are going to move in their fences at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals are going to keep center field at 410 feet, which is very, very far, obviously. But they're going to take the power alleys, and they're going to move them in from 389 to 379, and they're going to narrow them, and then they're going to shorten the fence down to 8.5 feet in total. And I've had this thought for a while. I don't love that baseball teams get to manipulate their fences the way that they can. Like, and I get it. Like, you have Bobby Witt Jr., you have Caglione, you have all these guys that you're expecting to have, like, big power outbursts, Pasquantino, all these guys. And it just, like, I get it. Your team is better if they hit a few more home runs. Your team is better. It's more constructed to be a power lineup. But I don't love this.
Why not?
I feel like baseball should be restrictive.
Is it standardized?
I don't know if it should be like the dimensions you have when you first create the park are the only dimensions you can have. That seems a little silly to me as well. But it should be like they haven't done an update in a long time, so they'd fit the requirements. But should it be like every 20 years you can do it? Because I feel like all these teams now, the Orioles have done this in the past couple years. They've just adjusted to the teams that they have. The Royals doing this is a clear and utter adjustment to the team that they currently have to try to get more power and try to get more boost.
Can we not do this in Cleveland? Can we not move the fences in about 15 feet?
Well, we have such a big left field fence that
No, that's 260.
They got to, like, I don't know. I don't even know how that works with that big of a fence.
They can't develop
like certain
hitters.
Certain ones you can't touch. Like, Fenway just can't be touched, apparently.
They can't develop hitters.
But you want to mess with pesky pole?
And
I
they
don't
can't
know.
Bring hitters in. All right, now all of a sudden, left field, that porch is about 100 feet off home plate. All of a sudden, we have some real power in Cleveland.
You want to bring it into 100 feet off home plate?
Would I rather that than watch guys hit warning track power for the next year? Yes.
In high school, in high school baseball, I played at a place that was their right field fence, Nick, was like 225 to right field.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire game, because you only played there, you know, twice a year. And the entire game, everyone on my team, we all just tried to hit home runs to right field.
Yeah,
it was so stupid.
You know,
and you're just hoping for pop ups to right field because the pop up would go out massive. They had apartment buildings behind the 225, so they didn't want to, like, they'd never extend it because it was like home run fence that went to higher than the big green monster in Fenway, and it would just and that was it. And then apartments afterwards, and so everyone, you just try to, like, hit a pop up to right. To be a home run.
Every person ruined who's
the
ever
game.
Played
every game
baseball.
Every game you win is ruined the game.
Yeah, but every person that's ever played baseball on any level has had a situation like this. Oh, you're in middle school and you played in the little kid's lot because that's the only one they had available. And every man reacts the same way. Doesn't matter if they're a major leaguer or a little leaguer. You swing for the fences. It brings out that there's some trait that is in everybody's genome that the second
you
get to a smaller park that is possible, you go, I'm going to hit three bombs today.
And it was like a real advantage for the home team.
I have a story like that. You've got a story. I guarantee you, Max got a story. Everybody out there that played baseball has got it's a smaller park. I'm going to smoke a couple today. I got to pad the stats today. Why not let that be Cleveland and Kansas City for the home run division?
I didn't get that pop-up, by the way.
Oh, no, you always overswung.
I didn't get
it. You always got, like, benched in the sixth inning because it's like...
You never got... the funny thing about it, I think I don't know. I mean, we played a lot of games there, but I can't remember. It wasn't a home run fest. It was never a home run fest. It was never like, oh, all of a sudden everyone's got it. No, you had a lot that just went off the fence in general. That happened a lot and then came down and it was like a long single.
So I definitely played in a smaller park once. It was in seventh grade and I was also fat and slow then. And I just smoked one to center field and I thought I had it. And I got around first base as I watched it dink off the top of the wall and come back. And I had to book it to second base. And I got thrown out by a mile. Did the worst slide you've ever seen. And then immediately faked an injury. I'm not proud of it. But I grabbed my ankle. I was like, oh, man, really wrenched my ankle.
Is that when your baseball career stopped?
No. But it didn't really get much better from that. But I definitely remember I like limped back and I got a round of applause and I did
I've seen people quit on worse things, by the way. But that's, you know, like that's all right. We're done with the sport.
So
I guess I play football now.
I'm in the dugout and they got a bag of ice over. I don't think I can go back in there. My dad came over and gave me a hug. He's like, I know you're not hurt. And I was just like, shut up, dude. And he played it cool. My dad played it very cool. But yeah, but I braved it. I didn't play that game, but the next game I came back. My pride's never recovered.
No, we agree on that.
What's wrong with the Cavs? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.